Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello there. Welcome home. Thank you for listening to the Doing It at Home podcast. On behalf of myself, Sarah, and my husband, Matthew, and our whole family, we appreciate you for tuning in and listening. We have an awesome Doing It at Home classic episode for you today. Please enjoy. And as always, if you would like to learn more about Doing It at Home, check us out. You can refer to the links in the show notes. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Sarah Bivens.
And I'm Matthew Bivens.
And this is the Doing It at Home podcast, the only podcast dedicated to empowering, loving, and honest conversations around home birth. What started as a fun way for us to document our own home birth journey has turned into a platform for sharing birth stories, resources, and education with the goal of empowering mamas and families to make the birth decisions that work best for them.
Plus, we get into the antics, breakdowns, and breakthroughs of our own experience of marriage and parenthood.
All right. You ready, babe?
Yep. Let's do it, mama.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Doing It at Home podcast. Today is birth story day. So we're chatting with Jenna Lear about the birth of her son, Teddy. And this is a great story for those of you mamas or pregnant mamas preparing who wonder what happens when your water breaks and nothing happens for a day and then another day. And then another day. And so how you move through that experience and cope with that and harness the patience, the trust, and surrender in that experience. And I just love how it presents another fold in the uniqueness that is all of women's birth experiences, right? Sometimes the water breaks and nothing happens for a number of days. Sometimes the water doesn't break. Sometimes the water breaks during labor. Sometimes the water breaks multiple times. You see, there's so many variations. So we get to hear about Jenna's take on that and how she moved through that. We also talk about how she and her husband, Jason, planned for home birth and moving from a space of knowing nothing about birth, essentially, to watching the fan favorite, Business of Being Born, and then seeking more information from having preconception appointments to then planning and visualizing the actual birth. And we also talk about what comes up when that doubt creeps in, the pressure we put on ourselves, the stress and the emotion, and how that really tests your conviction, and how her husband Jason was super involved and really supportive through the whole process. It's a beautiful story. We're so grateful to have Jenna. Here it is.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable. with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah Quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
Hi, Jenna. Welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. We're excited to chat with you and hear all about the beautiful home birth story.
Me too.
And for all of you listening right now, it's Jenna's birthday as she's talking to us. So we are getting to hang out with her on the day of her birth to talk about her birth story.
Woo-hoo!
So if you're listening right now, just give a little shout out from wherever you are. If you're driving in your car, be like, happy birthday, Jenna. Woo! So happy birthday, Jenna.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
So kick us off by just telling us a little bit about you and your family and what y'all are up to.
Yeah. I live in Albany, New York. So sunny upstate New York, about 2 hours from New York City. Not at all like the city. If you're not familiar with the area, we're upstate New York. It's like a whole different ball game, lots of trees. So I live here in Albany with my husband, Jason. We've been married for 5 years. And I work in learning and development. So I help people in their careers with their professional development plans and training and that kind of stuff. Kind of like a teacher or curriculum developer for companies. My husband works keeping the lights on. He works regulating the power grid. So if you use electricity, then you probably want him around. And we have two cats. They're our firstborns, and they give us trouble, but they're awesome.
That is so cool. Also, I just have to do an aside real quick. Well, thank you, Jason, for keeping lights on everywhere.
Yes.
We could have used you in our house last week because Matthew blew some sort of circuit or whatever in our bedroom and bathroom. And so we were without power in our bedroom and bathroom for a few days until he realized he could just push that reset button in the outlet and then everything turned back on. Crazy.
Yes. I broke it and then I fixed it.
Yes.
Nice. Nice.
Next time I'm calling Jason.
Yeah. Okay. So home birth, how did that enter into your awareness and become a thing that you considered for yourself?
So I knew literally like nothing about birth before I got pregnant or within a few years of that. So I think I was like 30 before I knew that like it didn't happen the way it happened on TV. Like I thought it was like always this big rush, you know, your water always broke in the grocery store and like it's always a disaster and you're just like running to the hospital. And some friends of mine mentioned that they had watched The Business of Being Born on Netflix. And even though my husband and I weren't talking about having children yet, I watched the special and it just really resonated with me. And then I watched the second, there was like a follow-up one that was on Netflix at the time that went like deeper into birth. I left watching that show feeling like, well, I don't know if I would have a home birth. That's kind of intense, but I feel like this midwife thing is pretty awesome. And so I looked, for a midwife. I just like did some searching of a midwife in the area. And actually there was one right in my neighborhood in this beautiful Victorian house turned midwifery practice that I walked by all the time. I'd see her car in the neighborhood. And I'm like, and so I, when my husband and I were ready to think more about kids, we did a preconception appointment with her. And I was like, we're not ready to have a baby yet, but we're just here like scoping it out because we're talking about it and I'm a planner. And I left that appointment convinced that I would have a home birth because she, Kelly from Saj Fem Midwifery in Albany, she was just really encouraging and convincing that it was a really healthy and she believed the best option for us. And I came to believe that really quickly. And my husband, but came on board pretty quick after that. I don't think he left the first appointment feeling that way, but I'd say within one or two appointments from there, he was really on board as well.
So I'm curious. Talk to me about the preconception appointment. What sort of stuff do you all talk about in that?
Yeah, I love that people are doing that. By the way,
yeah, that's
I think
cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So. Gosh, at this point now, it was 2 years. So it was 2 years ago when it was May, 2 years ago when I did because I'm such a planner, we did the appointment like a year before we started trying, because I was couldn't decide when we were going to try to start having a baby. We made an appointment and just talked about birth and her practice and what she could offer us and what it would look like. She asked us how we, found out about her practice. And so she just gave a lot of information about what it would look like to be in care with her. And so she talked about monthly appointments, and they'll be booked for an hour long, and how she's available 24/7. And so she just shared a lot of what she would provide. We talked about insurance stuff, and then she really provided us with a lot of information about why she feels like home birth is the best option for most families. And she's just amazing and super passionate about what she does. And so when you're talking with someone who's that passionate, it kind of gets you on board pretty quick. And so, yeah, it was a pretty neat appointment. It definitely left me feeling I wanted her to be our midwife. She did share though that she had hospital privileges at 3 local hospitals. So even if I had not wanted a home birth, she could have still been our care provider, which was pretty neat. And kind of helped us take that time we needed to figure out which route was right for us. But yeah, it was a neat appointment.
That's awesome. And prior to that, did you have any experience with an OB and kind of the conversations that happen when you go the more traditional hospital route? Or is this your first exposure into, birth talk, birth planning?
Yeah, it was my first talk about birth planning conversation with any medical professional. I had a nurse practitioner that had done my my care, just my regular women's care, but she had left the practice that I'd been with her for several years, and she had left the practice, and I didn't have any relationship with an OB. And so it really didn't ever occur to me to go to where I'd had my well women visits, or my primary care physician. Although I did ask at my physical, I mentioned the local midwife and, that I was working with, and my primary care physician had really great things to say about her. And something that made me feel super encouraged was whenever I mentioned my midwife's name to other medical professionals that were in my life, whether they were friends of mine or just my primary care physician, or when I had my blood drawn at work for a local blood drive, they were all oh, Kelly from Touch Femme, she's amazing. You're going to be in the best, best of hands with her. And that made me feel really good that the medical community, she has such a great reputation in the medical community.
Oh, that's great.
But yeah.
That's really cool. I also want to touch on just for a second, you mentioned the business of being born, and that is brought up a lot on the show, if you can imagine. And I would love to see if there was a way we could get concrete statistics on how many women and families have been influenced to do home birth as a result of that film. I mean, I wish we could, I want to help be a part of that census or something. I think it would be just really cool to see how far and wide that influence has spread, because, like I said, we hear it so much on the show, and it'd be cool for the documentary's sake to be able to say this many people have done home birth as a result of this film. It'd just be a cool little, thing to have on the DVD box there. But anyway, just throwing that out there.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Put that on Netflix, because it was on Netflix and it's not anymore. And I feel how many people have a Netflix account? That was just such great access to really important information. Even at the time when I watched it, I wasn't ready to have a baby, but I learned so much about, about being a woman and what we can do. And, from watching that. And so I felt like that, it was just an amazing, it kind of shocked me. I'm like, holy snap, I did not know this is how babies were born.
Yeah. It really
it's an amazing documentary.
It speaks to how well, when a story is crafted very well and it's put in a very, profound way that can hit the right chords, that anyone can really be drawn into it or relate to it in some way. And whatever route people ended up choosing after watching it. I mean, we've even talked on this show with dads who watched that documentary before even having a baby or thinking about having a baby, just because, what you said, it was on Netflix and it was there. I mean, for something to create that. And so it's just cool to be a part of that whole realm of birth world, with this podcast. It's just about telling the stories and sharing in a real way. So, and you're a part of that. So that's pretty awesome.
So one other thing I wanted to share about something that brought me to midwifery and home birth too, because it was especially after watching that documentary, it got me thinking about cesareans and just something that really motivated me to choose the path that I chose was that I wanted to do whatever I could to avoid an unnecessary cesarean. I mean, I have nothing against doctors or medical professionals or surgeries. If you know, whatever I need to stay alive and stay healthy, I'm game for that. But I really wanted to avoid unnecessary cesareans. And I felt like my absolute hands down best way to do that was to have a midwife, to have a home birth, and specifically to be with the midwifery practice that I chose, because they have such outstanding birth statistics. And you can ask any of your, you know, your local hospitals or your OBs, you know, what their stats are for cesareans. And I felt like I had just the best chance of having a healthy, healthy natural birth without the need for surgery. And I felt like if I did need surgery, that it would really be because I truly needed it, and that it would be the best thing for me and for the baby. And so, and after seeing later on, fast forward, how my birth story panned out, I am so glad that I made this choice, because I think my birth would have been really different if I had been in a more traditional model of care.
Oh, so let's get into that then. The event itself. I know there's a really unique aspect of your story in that it has to do with timing, and I'm sure a big element of patience and trust in the process. So why don't you take us down that road?
Yeah. So when I learned more about birth, I guess I should start there. I learned that it doesn't start typically with your water breaking in the grocery store, and then you run to the hospital.
Right.
Like, oh, things happen a lot slower. And so I remember I was towards the end of my pregnancy, and I was looking up like stats on like the likelihood of me having a baby today, like every week. Like I was, you know, towards the end of my pregnancy, once the baby became, you know, full term at 37 weeks, I was like, okay, what are my chances? Like I was like playing the lotto on my pregnancy. I was like, what are the chances I win today? And I remember I went to work that day, and I was 38 weeks, you know, I was more than 2 weeks before my due date. And a coworker said, what do you think the chances are today? And I'm like, well, I looked it up. It was like 12% or 15% likelihood I'd have the baby. I was like, but I feel great. I'm definitely not having this baby today. I feel amazing. But I went home that night. I was chatting on the phone with my sister, and huge gush of water. My water breaks, and I was like, oh my gosh, I never expected my birth story to start with the water breaking. And then I realized, oh, I guess around, I've heard something, I'm not an expert, but I heard like 10% of births actually do start with water breaking. And so I screamed to my husband, who was just about to walk out the door, Jason. And he has a friend over. They're about to like go to the bar around the corner to get wings and a beer together. And my water broke. And so he comes up, helps me change the sheets. I call my midwife. I say, can we still go to the bar? She said, yes. I said, okay, you know, go have your last like beer and wing as a man without a kid.
Yeah.
And be home by. And so I sent him out the door because I thought that would be kind of fun. And, so him and his friend left, and I thought things were really going to pick up because I started having contractions. It was like 9 o'clock at night. I did have contractions that night, but then it was like, you know, it was kind of like start, stop. So I just kind of went to bed. My midwife said, you know, just take it easy, get some rest. That's the most important thing. And call me when something changes. And if nothing changes, just call me in the morning. And nothing changed. So I called her in the morning. And she said, okay, like your job is just to live life light. Most people, you know, go into active labor within, you know, 24 hours of their water breaking. And so, you know, just get lots of rest. And if you feel like taking a nap, take a nap. If you feel like taking a walk, take a walk. But if you don't really feel like it, don't just do it because you see it, you know, hear people say, take walks, but don't wear yourself out. And so we watched Netflix. We just kind of like hung around, we did puzzles, you know, it was kind of like contraction here, contraction in an hour, one in 20 minutes. And that continued all day, just really sporadic. And so that night, it was 24 hours. My midwife came over for an appointment. She said, well, you know, looks like baby's not here yet. But, you know, about half of women go into, you know, or a certain percentage, you know, will go into labor within 2 days. So, you know, call me if anything changes, live life light, and, you know, relax and rest. It was at that point that I said to her, I said, well, do I like have to go into labor at a certain point? Because like, isn't there, like, I had heard that you can't just like have your water broken forever and not, right. You know, have a baby. And I really wasn't moving along at that point. It was like, it could be 20 minutes, then an hour, then an hour and a half, then 7 minutes. It was really all over the place. And that's where she shared with me that, yeah, in the traditional model, if we were at a hospital, they typically induce you after 24 hours. And I really didn't want that to be my story. But she's like, well, that's not our model of care. So she said, you know, the risk, I guess, in hospitals is they're worried about infection. But with my care provider, with Kelly, she said, we're not going to do a bunch of, internal exams that will introduce bacteria. You're at home, so you're, you know, already immune to all these germs because you live here. So your risk is of infection, but that risk is in reality very, very low. And so she monitored the baby's heart rate, you know, and she said, you know, as long as you're comfortable, she was comfortable. And so the next day, same thing. It gets to be the second evening. I'm like, my gosh, it's 48 hours now. How long is this going to go? And, you know, that's when I started having kind of, I guess, the doubt would creep in. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I think I felt the pressure. I was on the phone with my sister when my water broke, so she knew. There was someone that knew. My husband had a friend at the house. There was someone who knew that my water had broken, and those people knew that it wasn't normal, quote unquote, which I don't love that word, but, you know, it's not typical, like, you know, in that if I had been in the hospital, I would have already been induced. And maybe if I had to progress it, you know, within a certain amount of hours of induction, that I would have already had a cesarean and the baby would be here.
Right.
And that other people knowing, put more pressure on me and made it, I was trying to enjoy those few days, but it made it really stressful and emotional. And also really tested my convictions for how I wanted my birth to be. And I remember my midwife talking to me and being like, this is a really great lesson in, you know, in being a parent, that you have to make decisions that you're comfortable with and that you're willing to live with. And something I feel like about home birth and about midwifery as a model is it trusts moms and women to make wise decisions for themselves with the guidance and support of their care providers. But it's not like an assumptive close in a hospital, which is the next step in the process as you get induced. And the step after that is that you have a cesarean. I got to weigh the options and make the choice for myself, which means that I have to take real responsibility for my care and my health as well as my provider does. And so I really, you know, I had to think, is this what I want? And whenever I thought about going to a hospital and being induced and being under their policies, I thought, no, that's not what I want. I know that being at home is the right thing for me. I just wanted it to hurry it up. But she said 98% of people will go into active labor within 72 hours. And I finally went into active labor at 73 hours.
All right. Nice. You got to be a part of that small percentage, don't you, Jenna?
Yeah, right? I mean, we did get a lot done in those 3 days. So, I mean, we went to the deli and stocked up on deli meat. I couldn't wait to have a sandwich. We did a puzzle, and then we framed the puzzle, and then we hung it in the baby's room. You know, like, we got some stuff done. Like, and so at that point, things had been really long and really slow. But at the 73-hour mark, labor really, you know, kind of I was going to go play shuffleboard with a friend, but she didn't know I was in labor, and I didn't think I could, like, hide it anymore. So I canceled my plans and had a baby instead. And so it was about 16 hours of active labor, and it was amazing. I mean, I've never felt so strong and strong in my mind, and I'm then grateful for the experience of those 3 days before, because I think as much as I had done research and prepared and taken classes and listened to podcasts, I was and knew I shouldn't be afraid of birth. I was, but after those 3 days of waiting, it really helped me reframe the experience of being in labor. And I remember just saying to myself, you know, this isn't stressful. Like this may be painful, but it's not stressful. But then I decided I couldn't even say the word pain, because saying the word pain in my mind made it hurt more. So I would just say, progress, and, you know, not stress, progress, no stress, progress. Because that feeling of being stressed out about when the baby was going to come, was just something I didn't enjoy that feeling. And so once I really got into labor, real active labor, I never felt stressed anymore. And I just felt like this is just all progress. And I felt so mentally strong and in control. And I'm a really chatty and verbal and emotional person. And I wasn't any of those, and none of those things are bad. It's how I am, but I wasn't that way in my labor experience, which surprised me. I was just super internal and just focused on progress and breathing and resting when, you know, in between contractions. And I really felt like the way in which I prepared for labor paid off. And I just felt so positive and strong. And almost immediately after labor, I couldn't have described to you what the pain felt like, because I focused on my break. I remember someone saying that in like 24 hours of labor, you really only have like 2 hours of pain, like contractions. But the reality is, like, you do have a lot of breaks in between the intensity of the contractions. And so I would just focus my mind on, this is my break. I'm on a break. I'm taking a break now. And I could just get my heart rate down so quick after a contraction. I just felt amazing until the delivery part, which was super painful. And so, you know, I labored in my bedroom, in the bathroom, in the other bedroom, in the birth pool. And I just kind of like changed rooms. And then I delivered the baby, and that took about, you know, an hour and a half of pushing, and then he was here, and that was just, and it was crazy. It was crazy. It was awesome.
So what position did you end up giving birth in that worked for you to deliver?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I ended up delivering on my back.
Which is crazy.
I started pushing in the birth pool. So I had really labored a long time, and we set up the birthing room, and we have a guest suite. And so we had a bed in there, and we had the birth pool in there, and there was a half bath in there. So that's where all like the medical equipment was. I did all like most of my earlier laboring in my master bedroom. And you know, I used the shower and all of that. And I started pushing in, I did transition and then started pushing in the birth tub. And I remember my midwife saying, "You're going to meet your baby any minute." But then it felt like it was like an hour later, and I still had not met my baby, and my skin was having a hard time not being so elastic, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And so she said, you know, we should get out of the pool. And then it felt like things got super painful, but went really quick. And I think she had me on my back just to protect my skin from tearing. Yeah. And I'm really grateful to her, because it did tear just a teeny, teeny, tiny bit, but that tiny bit was wicked painful. So I'm really grateful that she really respected my health and the integrity of my skin, and made it a safe delivery for me and for the baby. But I'm surprised I was on my back, but I think that was to, like, you know, speed it up and slow it down all at the same time. So,
Wow. Now, I'm curious, what was Jason up to during active labor? Where was he and how was he involved?
He's really shy asking to do, he's not shy, but he's shy for something like this, you know? I asked if he wanted to do it with me and he said, no, that's all you. But, he was really, involved in the whole birth. And I think what he would tell you if he was on the podcast is, that what he likes about home birth is how involved, the dads or the partners can be. And he really was right there. I mean, after he got back from Wings and Beer with his friend on that first night, he was off work with me all 3 days, really supported me in that early time. And then right there with me, through the whole labor process. So, sleeping in the bed next to me when I was, just trying to get through those early ones, and I was laboring just on my side, laying in bed, massaging my back. If that's what I needed at the time, holding my hand or just offering me water. So, he'd just make sure that I had water throughout, especially that transition time. And when I was in the pool, so I wasn't dehydrated, he was just everything I could have asked for and more. It's such a bonding experience. You think you're close, you've been married for 5 years, but, really he was just everything. Him and, I just couldn't ask for more.
That's awesome. Nice job, Jason.
Yeah, that's a really sweet and beautiful, testimonial of that experience for the two of you. Wow. And so you kind of mentioned earlier that being on the other side of it now, you're just so happy with your decision and, the way that it went. What are some big takeaways that you feel like you got for yourself or that you would share, with a friend or with a mama or, even mom-to-be, non-mom yet, listening and thinking about those preconception conversations and stuff like that?
Big takeaways, I feel like there are some huge advantages and benefits to home birth, but it's certainly not where I feel like midwifery could be for everyone. I don't know that home birth is for everybody. You have to, think about I am more of a homebody.
Right.
I feel safest at home. I felt like I had a good setup where I could have it. But I think that, I had a friend who was inspired by hearing about my birth, but then she realized that with she had a lot of pets and she didn't feel like she would be able to focus with all of her pets around and the care that they would need. And so if you feel whatever you feel like is going to give you the opportunity to rest and to focus and be well cared for, that's why I chose home birth, because I felt safe and it would be the best medical outcome, for me. But that might be different, for someone else. I also feel like preparing, whatever that is for you, I think is really important. Since I work in learning and development, I'm someone who really believes that practice makes perfect. And, and that when you're successful, it's typically because you prepared and you did the work. And, so for me, I feel like that really helped my birth story be what I was hoping for it to be. I read Ina May's Guide to Childbirth, and that was a game changer for me. Because of there's a good mix of medical information and why her practice is healthy and successful and safe. And then also birth stories. And the birth stories part of that, was probably the most important, part of my preparation. So I met with some local moms, to hear their birth stories. It was like a birth stories gathering. I went to a gathering that my midwife's office does. She does a kind of a reunion with the families twice a year, a winter and a summer. And so I was pregnant and I had the opportunity to meet other moms and other families that had chosen home birth. And that was really great. And then also I listened to your podcast and some other podcasts, that allowed me to hear positive birth stories. I think, that if I didn't, believe that you could have a positive experience, if I didn't have access to so many positive birth stories, that it would have been really easy to succumb to, my fears or my anxieties around birth, and for those to have become a self-fulfilling prophecy, And then lastly, I do feel like on the lines of positive birth story, my sister had given birth within a year of myself. She had my nephew a year and a half ago. And although she had a hospital birth, she's such a positive birth story. And she had a natural birth, but she didn't have any interventions. And she basically labored. She basically showed up at the hospital like 10 centimeters dilated. She like almost had a home birth.
Wow.
And because of her story, it made me believe that I could do it. And so I was really inspired by her and her strength. And so I just feel like it's really easy to just hear the dramatic and the awful and the really tough stories that people share. And there's definitely a place for all types of stories. But I do feel like that filling your mind with the positive stuff and the other, other normal. I mean, it's not abnormal to have a great birth story and to feel really great about your birth. But it can be harder to find those if you're not looking for them. So I think that that's the best advice I would have for someone, is to seek out those stories, especially if you're someone like me who didn't really, I don't come from like this long line of people who had home births. I don't have a bunch of friends, or I didn't at the time, a bunch of friends that had home births. Because I feel like searching for those stories can be really helpful.
That is so well said and encapsulated, Jenna. Yes, I agree with that. And you made some really powerful points there. And now you're a part of this positive birth story sharing, and someone's going to listen to yours. And who knows, like you won't even know, half of what you might spark or inspire, what another mama might be listening to, and take something from your story, integrate it into her experience and then create something for herself. So we're so honored and grateful that you could be a part of that with us here on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jenna. Appreciate you and Teddy and Jason for just being an awesome crew and allowing us to be a part of your journey as well, and to hang out with us again on your birthday.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. That's a first for the show.
Happy birthday again.
Thanks so much.
Quick note about the Doing It at Home podcast. Matthew and I are not doctors or medical professionals, and nothing we say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. If you have medical or health-related questions, please take them to a trained professional. We're here simply to entertain you with stories and conversations about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved, Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.